Okay, so Erev Tov, everybody. We are continuing on in our trek, Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakel, Pekudei, with some of Kitisa in the middle. We are building the Mishkan. And last week's parsha primarily dealt with building the structure and the kelim inside. It's a gemara, it's a machlok in the gemara about the order with which they are supposed to be built, but the machlok of Bezalel and Moshe Rabbeinu. This week's parsha, I'll say half of it, a little bit less than half of it, deals with the avoda, the begadim of the Kohen and the Kohen Gadol, and it deals with the consecration of the Kohanim and the Mishkan in general. What we're not going to talk about now, but everybody talks about it, is why at the very end of Parshat Tetzaveh do we have something that belonged back in at least Parshat Truma, if not in the beginning of Tetzaveh, but certainly at the end of Tetzaveh. What happens at the end of Parshat Tetzaveh? What is out of order? It's not out of order, but seemingly out of order? Say again? Yafeh me'od, the Mizbeach HaZahav, or the Mizbeach HaKetoret. Everybody gets in on the act about why it happens to be that in Vayakel, it is in the order that we expect. So it's strange, but we're not talking about that. I actually want to talk about a little diamond. A little diamond found in a Rashi, and how much we can learn from this little diamond. This diamond is found at the top of your page, and it's a Rashi describing what the ephod looked like. Says Rashi, Perek Chafchet, Pasuk Dalet. Lo shamati, velo matzati bibraita perush tavnito. You ask me, what does an ephod look like? I don't know. I never learned it before. I never saw any mishnah or braita about what it should look like. The tavnit means like the structure or the form. Vilibi omer li, but my heart tells me, shehu chagur lo meachorav. It's like an apron that is tied in back, rochbo kerochav gav ish. It's as wide as a man. Kamin sinar in modern Hebrew, a sinar is an apron, etc. And that's the way you know princes ride these like riding clothing. And then Rashi continues on exactly bringing from Psukim what he thinks the ephod looked like. But that wording is very strange. Lo shamati v'lo matzati v'chule. That's really beautiful. You don't always need an answer. You don't always need to know. You're allowed to say, I don't know. If Rashi says, I don't know, then you can say, I don't know. Then I can say, I don't know. I was talking to some people earlier today about a question that Rav Yaakovson was asked once. In this very room, at this very place, and he said, I don't know. I remember asking more than one question, but one specifically of Rav Schechter. I asked him a question, said, I don't know. I went to the house of Rav Volbe, the author of Alei Shur. I asked him a question, and I remember sitting there. He was quiet. I don't want to say it was minutes, but it was seconds that were very silent. And finally he said, Lo yodea. He didn't know the answer to my question. Now, it doesn't happen to me that I'm asking these amazing questions, but no one knows everything. And it's okay to say, I don't know. That's not what I'm focusing on. Rashi then does go into a perush about what the ephod is supposed to look like. But he says, I don't know what it is. Three words. Vilibi omerli, my heart tells me, dot, dot, dot. What does that mean? What does it mean for Rashi to use the expression vilibi omerli? It happens to be in a letter that was written in 1951, in a book called, and it's printed, in a book called Community Covenant and Commitment, Selected Letters and Communication. Rabbi Dr. Belkin had asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Dr. Belkin was the president of Yeshiva University, Rabbi Soloveitchik was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva University, it was during the Korean War. And Rabbi Dr. Belkin asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, what does he think about men, American men, becoming members of the chaplaincy in the United States Army? And Rabbi Soloveitchik answers the question. But before he does that, he says, and take a look right in the middle of the next source down, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, this is this: in all fields of human intellectual endeavor, there is always an intuitive approach which determines the course and method of the analysis. Not even in exact sciences, particularly in their interpretive phase, is it possible to divorce the human element from the formal aspect. Hence, this investigation about answering the question about Orthodox rabbis becoming chaplains in the American army for the Korean War, his own investigation, was also undertaken in a similar subjective mood. From the outset, I was prejudiced in favor of the project of the Rabbinical Council of America, and I could not imagine any halachic authority rendering a decision against it. My inquiry consisted only in translating a vague intuitive feeling into fixed terms of halachic thinking. Rabbi Soloveitchik describes a certain connection to the Torah that he, in another place, which we'll see in a moment, he would call halachic intuition. This happens all the time. Anybody here who has a mother or a father who's a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, a business person, whatever business your parents have, let's say one of you has a mother who's a doctor. When she first left medical school, she might not have had what we call medical intuition in this case. She might not have had. She's brand new, right out of medical school. Somebody comes with this problem or that problem. She had to consult. She had to think about it. She was a blank slate. But as time went on and your mother became so much more of an expert in medicine, she had intuition, a certain, something's not right here, or something. I feel like it's this. Am I sure? I'm not positive. And the rest of my investigation now is going to lead me in that direction. It's not always good. It's not always good. Because if you're wrong, you're going to prejudice yourself and not really be open to new things. But it usually works out. If anyone has ever read the book by Malcolm Gladwell called Blink, raise your hand. Oh, okay. I'm recommending it going forward, not necessarily now, and even that. But he talks about how decisions are made by experts without even realizing that they're making this decision. The very beginning of the book talks about an interview that they had with a fire chief. I think it was a fire chief. They were in a house. And it was a fire that was basically under control. They were putting out the fire. And all of a sudden, this chief, I think it was a chief, said something like, "Get out of here, get out of here." And he tells all the firefighters to get out. They all evacuated. And seconds or minutes after they evacuated, boom, the house collapsed. And it was amazing. I see a prophet. And the investigation was, well, you know, why did you tell everybody to get out of the house? And he didn't have a great answer. I don't know. But what do you mean? I just had a feeling. Maybe you had a feeling. What are you, a Navi? You're a prophet? You're a fortune teller of fires? And what they did, the book describes, I think it's the first chapter, is goes through and he said, you know, if I thought about it for a second, the floor that I was on was warmer than I expected it to be. And something else about the walls and something else about the smoke wasn't right. He couldn't put it into words. And had he put it into words, he probably would have said, nah, it's nothing. But the fact that it came intuitively, he saved all their lives. This is the way Rabbi Soloveitchik describes his analysis of whether rabbis should become chaplains in the American army. This was during the Korean War. Rabbi Soloveitchik elsewhere discusses this in a whole different way. It happens to be summarized in Nefesh HaRav. It happens to be summarized in Nefesh HaRav, if anybody wants, but it's also printed in this sefer. So we've got, Baruch Hashem, all of them. Nefesh HaRav is written by Rav Herschel Schechter. Baruch Hashem, he should live and be well. He is one of the major Talmidim of Rabbi Soloveitchik. He wrote this book and two others on this topic. But also, Rabbi Soloveitchik wrote In this, he gave a eulogy for his uncle, Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik. And in this eulogy, he describes this halachic intuition a little bit better. And he quotes our Rashi when we discuss halachic intuition. And I wanted to share it with you, number one, because it's fascinating. Number two, because this is a level that you and I are trying to be on. Nobody here is learning Torah just to sound smart. Many of us are learning Torah because we want to gather information. But hopefully all of us are learning Torah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. We love Him, and I just want to know and to know and to know more. Rabbi Soloveitchik describes two stages, as you all know, of marriage. Today, we have Erusin and Nisuin also, of course. But Erusin and Nisuin happen, I don't want to say simultaneously, of course, but one right after the other. What divides Erusin and Nisuin from most people today? Yafeh, reading of the Ketubah. Reading of the Ketubah today is really not halachically required. It's just a hefsek. It's a hefsek between Erusin and Nisuin. Erusin today, when you meet a young lady or a young man who are engaged, in modern Hebrew you'll say that they were hitarsu. Or you can have a mesibat Erusin. But that's a misnomer, as I'm sure you know. That is an engagement party. Oh, mazal tov hitarasti. That's not really true. Hitarasti in the Gemara is probably called shiduchim. Shiduchim in the Gemara's days were like commitments to getting married. Erusin in the days of the Gemara happened one day, and approximately a year later, they had Nisuin. Erusin, as you know, makes the man prohibited to any other woman in the world. It makes the woman prohibited to any other man in the world, but they themselves are not allowed to live together as husband and wife. If they decide to break it off, she needs a get after Erusin. Not after modern engagements, but after Erusin. Okay, so there's Erusin, and then there is Nisuin. Rabbi Soloveitchik describes the differences in one's relationship between a person that they are me'uras to, and a person that they are, I guess, nasui to. In other words, nisuin. Erusin means, certainly, you're together. There's nobody else in the world. But you don't know each other so well. At some point, nisuin happens. And once nisuin happens, the bond between now husband and wife, by the way, they were husband and wife before also, but the bond between the husband and the wife is so much deeper. It's innate. It's intuitive. It's a part of you in the other person. Literally a part. So much so that to some degree you can begin guessing what the other person is going to do or think or how they're going to react. Now I will say parenthetically, just as a 30-second tangent, it's not related to this, and that is, of course, anybody who's married longer than a certain amount of time has to be wary of that. Obviously, one has to make sure that there's still spontaneity in the relationship and not expectedness. You have to make sure that you don't expect and just move on, but talk out things. This is not marriage advice, but it's important. But gadol, you know each other so well that you can ask your husband after Emirat Hashem Nisuin, how are you? And he'll say, fine. And you'll know. Does fine mean, yeah, I'm really fine, or I said fine, but I'm not really fine. By the way, another 30-second tangent, texting ruins that also. You have no idea what the person really means. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe if you know someone really, really well, you'll know when they say fine, and when they say fine amazingly. That's a different discussion. That is the difference in terms of relationship between Erusin and Nisuin. Rabbi Soloveitchik takes that and brings it to our Torah learning. You ready? Here we go. Take a look. Divrei Hagut Baharacha, Hagrid Soloveitchik. That stands for? Hagon Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, This was published in 1981, Tufshin Membet, 73 to 75, or you can look in here, pages Mem Aleph to Membet. It's sort of summarized. Here we go. Hakinyan, line one. Hakinyan b'neches ruchani. Acquiring a spiritual object, we'll say, inheritance, asset. Eino mitkayem al yedei maaset surani. You can't acquire something spiritual just by a formal act, maybe an external act. Ki'im al yedei hitmachrut atzuma. The only way that you can really acquire Torah is by incredible dedication. Yigi'ah b'lashon hachachamim. Yigi'ah. Toil. Work. This is not winning the lottery. You can't download the Torah. It's work, and it's work, and you know that already. Ba'aluto shel hayega b'talmudo noseit pri. And when a person really gets to that level, it produces fruit, outgrowth, benefits. Umit batet, line four, b'yidiyat ha-Torah uvanata. It's expressed by knowing the Torah and understanding the Torah. This person is baki hu b'halachot. Yodeyahu lahorot. Person knows how to teach and paskin. Umit matzei b'inyanei shel Torah. I understand. A person who does this, I understand that he or she really is in English or in Yiddish, we call it is holding, is really understands Torah. Line 5, manchil hu liatzmo biki'ut v'gam charifut. Broad knowledge and also sharpness. Yadav ravlo, it's a pasuk, of course, very wealthy. B'michmanei ha-halakha, with the halakhic treasures. Your halakhic treasure chest is huge. End of line 6, v'hi shayechet lo b'mashma'ut mishpatit rishmit. And it belongs to the person, so to speak, in a legal, formal way. Says the Gemara in the middle of line 7, kvar amru chazal in Kiddushin, Torah dilehi. The Torah can be his. Dichtiv, as it says in the very beginning of Sefer Tehillim, ki im b'torat Hashem cheftzo, u'b'torato yehege yomam v'layla. Says the Gemara in line 9, as Rashi understands, Mitzchila mikrei Torah Hashem. Originally, it's Hashem's Torah. Umishelamda v'girsa. And when a person learns and learns and reviews, he nikrei Torato. Bikitzur, line 10. Adam shekideish et haTorah. This is a play on words also. Because another word for erusin is? Kiddushin. A person, so to speak, who marries. I think in English we call it betrothed, don't we? I think so. A person who betroths themselves to the Torah. V'hi nit arsa lo, and the Torah becomes betrothed to him or her. Bekocho la'alot the darga gvoha shel lamdanut. Get to a high level of lamdanut. Ulehofia afilu ki'achad mi'chachmei ador. You'll become one of the greatest Torah scholars. All this is level one, and if we stop the sicha now, that would be incredible. We have an obligation, ladies, to learn Torah and to learn nach unach, more and more. V'agita bo yomam v'layla. You want to acquire the Torah. And you're learning that, and it's one of your goals this year, and next year, and for 120 years to make the Torah yours. One of the things that I said when many of you were in 12th grade, I came to your school and I said that in Shalvim for Women, we don't use Waze. Do you remember that? It's okay if you don't. When I go to a city, I get out of the airport, I get into a car, I turn on my Waze, boom, 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 I'm where I need to be. It happened to me this year. A lot of places I know already. I went to Seattle this year. I've never been to Seattle in my life. I got into a car, boom, and I, before you know it, miracle of miracles, wonder of wonders, I got to the school in Seattle and the person that I wanted to meet there. It's amazing. The problem with Waze is that if I ever lose my phone, if I ever run out of data, If Waze ever goes down, I have no idea where I am. What we used to do in the old days, and you can ask your parents about it, at least in the United States, we used to go to AAA, American Automobile Association. I think it's a CAA also, if I'm not mistaken. And I used to go to these places, and all of us did. And we got physical maps. And we would take a physical pencil and take our physical hands to our physical pencils on the physical map, and I would map out, and this is where I go, and this is where I need to be. It was a pain in the neck. Yes. It took a lot of time. Yes. It was inconvenient. Yes. But the city became mine. I remember when I first started driving, you learn your city so much better than you did before. So again, people put on Waze, they have no idea where they are. And I said that in Shalvim, we don't use Waze. We don't use Waze because of this. We want the Torah to become yours, not somebody else's. If any of you have ever asked Mrs. Blank a question, you know what I'm talking about. And hopefully other teachers also. Hi, Mrs. Blank, where's the Gemara in Kiddushin? Yes, where's the Gemara in Kiddushin? No, you're just repeating what I said. Where's the Gemara in Kiddushin? Yes, where's the Gemara in Kiddushin? Oh, you want me to? Yes. Now, we're not trying to be a pain in the neck, but it is a pain in the neck. Download it. Boom! And I know that many of you use, you know, phones to do words, and I'm not even saying it's bad. But, you know, I can look up any Gemara online if I want. I can look up anything I want. The entire world knowledge is on Google. But that's not Torah. Torah is hard work and hard work to make the Torah mine. And guess what? That's not the highest level. That's only Kiddushin. That's only Erusin. There's another level that we want to get to, at least somewhat, if not more than that. I skip a little bit to the next set of 1, 2, 3. Ulam says, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Yeshna darga lema'ala mimena. There's a higher level than what I just said. And that's a high level already. I would love that if I am able to walk away from today and tomorrow and this year, the Torah being mine. But guess what? We're going to shoot higher. Lifrakim, line 1, sometimes. Hatorah nis'eit le'adam. Sometimes the Torah is not just betrothed to you, you get married to the Torah. What do I mean by that? U'mizdaveget imo. And you literally link up, you pair up from the word zug. Nisu'eha imo kamim al yidei, and how do we get married, so to speak? Al yidei yichud. Hamevi li'yidei yichidut. Certain singularity, uniqueness. Shesofa achdut shlema. One and the same. HaTorah nikletet. The Torah is absorbed. L'toch nivche yeshuto. Yeshuto. The Torah is absorbed into the depths of one's being. Yeshuto from the word yesh. My very existence. Umit mazeget imo. Again, because linked up with me. Unfortunately, many people marry other things. They know baseball statistics inside and out. Sometimes their job inside and out. It's not terrible. Art, movies. There are people who have married, and you know them and I know them, people have married People Magazine. They know exactly when this couple broke up and this couple got back together and this movie star is playing in that and signed a contract. That's who you want to marry. I don't mean the people, I mean the magazine. So much so that it becomes a part of you. Oh, remember Devorah? Oh yeah, she was the one who knew all the movie stars. In other words, it's the same thing, same person. Or, oh, you remember Devorah? Yeah, she's the one who always had a Devar Torah. She got married to the Torah, so to speak. It became a part of her. And the way she thought was a Torah way to live. I'm skipping down to line 14, or the end of line 13. Ish, and you can read it on your own. Ish ha-halacha, she'atorah nis'eit lo, v'dovkabo, a halachic man who marries the Torah and clings to the Torah, ro'eh tchanim halachiyim, sees, well, you don't see that? Halachic characteristics. Margish ideot hilchatiot or hachiot. This person feels there's an intuition. Ki ilu hayu tochnei kol, as if they comprised of a voice. Oh, you didn't hear that? I just heard that. It's an amazing story of two Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbi Yochanan and a man named by the name of Ilfa, who left yeshiva, and they heard malachim talking. But only Rabbi Yochanan heard the malachim talking, and so he went back. And Ilfa said, what did you hear? And Rabbi Yochanan said, obviously he's only talking to me. Sometimes I see things or hear things that nobody else hears or sees, because you're so entrenched in the Torah. Ki'ilu hayu tchochnei kol vareach. As if these things had comprised of a voice, sound, vision, smell. This person who chai lo rak bihalacha ki'im eta halacha. That's the line. Hu chai lo rak bihalacha ki'im et halacha. A person like this doesn't just follow halacha. She is halacha. You know people who are nice. You also know people who act nicely. Those are two different things. Let's get all to the madrega of acting nicely. Okay. But we also want to get to the madrega of being nice. Who is she? She is nice. As opposed to she acts nicely. A 30-second tangent. This happens in the Chumash, in the beginning of Sefer Shemot, that we sing on Pesach night, Avadim Hayinu Hayinu. Rabbi Soloveitchik says, why does it say Avadim Hayinu? Why doesn't it say Avdei Paro Hayu Avotenu? It says Avdei Paro many times in Chumash. The answer is, we were not Avdei Paro. We were Avadim Hayinu. For certain reasons, I became a slave. I became enslaved. But that didn't become who I am as a person. I was still free. Avadim Hayinu, the Far Mitzrayim, not Avdei Paro Hayinu. And says Rabbi Soloveitchik, this is what Rashi means with Libi Omer Li. Something's not, this is what it tells me. This is what makes sense. Sometimes you know a Mishnah so well. I had a zechut, one of my years learning in Shalvim, we learned Masechet Sukkah, and we had a minhag, my chavruta and I, to learn every daf 10 times. And during meals, lunches and dinners, we hung out with other guys who also learned the Gemara a lot, and we would just test people. How many times does it say Rava in the first 5 amudim? It was such a great time in my life. How many times, give me 3 examples of a sukkah kshera, you know, in from Yud Bet to Tet Vav. And then someone would say, oh, this kind of sukkah. No, wait a second, I don't remember it, but that doesn't sound right. That can't be. I've got a psak from such as a rabbi mutter. I didn't see the psak. I think you must have misread it. How do you know? I could be wrong. But Libi Omer Li. Now, I'm not saying that anybody's on Rashi's level. But I am saying that we can shoot to Rashi's level. Not just to live halacha, which, by the way, is awesome. Not just to acquire the Torah, which is amazing. But to make the Torah like you're married to the Torah. And just like you, when the right time comes with the right person, you're going to be able to almost guess what your spouse is going to say. I can guess what Hashem says. I do my best to be on that madrega, because at that point, the Torah will be mine, will be married to it. It's not a simple level. We're shooting for it. You should be Zocha. I should be Zocha. Emir Tz Hashem. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.